Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. This is Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I am Craig Mish. He is Joe Pizzapia. You can follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid, at Craig Mish, at Joe Pizzapia 17. Make sure you go over to our website, which is sportsgrid.com, for all of the wonderful programming we have here. We're a 24-hour fantasy gambling sports information channel here, and so any kind of edge that you would need, especially over at our friends at the FanDuel Sportsbook, this is definitely the place that you want to be. We're going to get into a little NBA this hour. We'll also look at the games on the Major League Baseball slate. There have been two postponed games today, a second game postponed between Miami and Baltimore in Miami, also a second postponed game between the Yankees and Philadelphia Phillies in Philadelphia. So two less games on the slate that we will review. We'll also get into the top stories in baseball, which would include a former excellent pitcher on the Atlanta Braves being designated for assignment, so he'll have a new home soon. And, of course, some of the big bats that were busted out yesterday and potentially some that could tonight. But, Joe, we start off with our top story again of the day, which is the Miami Marlins having four more players testing positive for COVID-19. I am reporting that it is unlikely that they will play their next two games in Baltimore, which would be a complete wipeout of four games of their season, Monday and Tuesday in Miami, Wednesday and Thursday in Baltimore. The Athletic reported just a few minutes ago that the Washington Nationals took a team vote and decided that they don't want to play in Miami this weekend, which lends the question what the future is for the Marlins in 2020. And what baseball will even look like this weekend, where they could potentially be headed. Will Miami head to Washington to play three games this weekend? Will they not have any games at all? And how Major League Baseball may have to immediately decide that wins and losses in 2020 do not get you to the postseason. The percentages and win percentages of your teams do. That is something that may have to be on the table. But, Joe, it is great to see you and talk to you. And that's kind of where we're going to start this hour again.
Take a deep breath, Craig. Take a deep breath. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack, my friend. The Nationals are not wrong for doing what they've done here. And certainly it seems like Major League Baseball is going to have to continue to get creative. And I think this is part of the reason why you see so many playoff teams. I think an expanded playoff format, number one, was good for Major League Baseball anyway. But under the circumstances, at least you're basically saying, all right, look, at a certain point, you know, basically half the league you're in, the other half you're out. And I think even before the season started, we have a pretty good idea who the teams that were out already. And it doesn't make it any easier for the Marlins right now. That's certainly true. One can only hope that as the week goes on, perhaps they can go to Washington and start to play again with whatever taxi squad remains, whatever healthy players remain, and is going to be a difficult 10 to 14 day period for those guys. There's no doubt about that, but it's also, again, a portion of the season as of right now, not the entire season. So if they can get those guys back eventually in the next few weeks, the rash of injuries is one thing. A rash of COVID is another. And when you're losing two or three players, oh, it's bad luck. But when you're losing 14, that's a whole different universe in terms of what the makeup of a Major League Baseball team is. So certainly a lot to unpack here. But there was also some baseball played last night. And maybe we'll get to talk about that today a little bit, too.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that, you know, the statement that you made yesterday on the show is actually the question that I think that I've gotten most in the thousands of things that I've done in the last 2 days. It's really getting up to that, which is, again, what would have happened if it was another player? And so It's hard for me to translate, and probably unfair for me to translate the major league talent on the Marlins to the major league talent on the Yankees or the Astros or the Dodgers. But to be clear, this is the equivalent, more or less, if I can, you know, dance a little bit here. This is, and I mean, give me the team, Joe, that we would be referring to. I mean, throw out a team name. Just give me one team. Give me any. Go ahead.
What a team! What for any team in Major League Baseball?
Give me a team that to compare to. Give me a team to compare to. Any team in baseball. Pick one.
And I'm San Diego Padres.
No, give me a good, really good team, please.
Okay, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Dodgers. Okay, so this is the equivalent of, let's say, hypothetically, let's use some guys here. Walker Buehler.
Cody Bellinger.
You lose Walker Buehler.
Right.
You lose Max Muncy and Corey Seager. Mm-hmm. You lose Jock Peterson. You lose Joe Kelly. You lose Will Smith. Welcome to our radio listeners as well. So you see where I'm at here? Like, you see what I've given you? Like, I've given you five really good players, right? And just because Absolutely. The names on that team of Los Angeles are bigger and better than Miami, it doesn't mean that those players on Miami are less integral to their success. And so when the commissioner, last night came on television and said that he's not going to pause a team or nothing's going to happen unless he feels like the team can't be competitive, well, what would have happened if all of those Dodgers, Joe, that I just mentioned went out? Wouldn't we be looking at it like, oh, there's no way the Dodgers should have to play. They lost all their best players, and it's just – and so there's
also
definitely –
a perception attached to all this that game that got canceled also happened to be a game between the Orioles and the Miami Marlins. And no matter what you want to think about that, the perspective is there that this was the bottom game on the slate. And maybe that's unfair, but it's the perception. And I think that's the way Major League Baseball is looking at it too. It's like, whew. Maybe we dodged a bullet here. It's only the Marlins, which is a terrible thing to think and say, but I feel like it's kind of being unsaid right now, and I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but it certainly feels that way a little bit.
It's I don't think it's hot at all. I think it's obvious at this point because you have a team that's not expected to win the World Series, and there is a double standard, I feel like. I feel it's different. I mean, what would have happened if the Yankees lost Gerrit Cole, not over the course of the season, like today, Gerrit Cole, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, we'd have a different conversation. We'll be right back on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I am Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia, with you back here on the show. We'll have an update coming up here in about 10 minutes from Dan Strafford. We're also going to go over some of the marquee games of the day. I've stated before, I'll state it again here, for those of you who are wondering, you know, sort of how I'm covering this COVID story and also in terms of the players who test positive. It is my opinion, and it's not shared by everybody, you know, certainly, because people are reporting players that have tested positive or not. But because of me covering the Marlins directly, I have basically taken the stance of I am not going to out a player that has tested positive without them giving me their consent for that, just because of the CDC regulations and the rules that are around HIPAA and everything else. There are some reporters that are choosing to do it, for better or worse. That's completely up to them. So that being said, John Heyman of MLB Network reports that Miguel Rojas of the Marlins has tested positive for COVID-19. Clearly, this is something, unfortunately, that I knew also. But as I said, I am sorry. This is one of those things that I personally will not report. But this report is coming from somebody else that is a very well-respected reporter in Major League Baseball, and Joe, the team leader of the Miami Marlins as well.
Yeah, I think it might be easier at this point to tell us the people who have not tested positive on the Marlins. It might be an easier show for you and for everyone else. But look, I think you're taking the high road, the right road, and also kind of the ethical one here. If a player wants to come out and say it, then let the player come out and say it. And otherwise, look, it's always going to break these kind of news stories always end up finding their way into the public domain. And now that it is public domain, I think it is fair to then discuss it, because once it's public knowledge and it's been out there, then it's out there. And this is one of many names that I'm sure are going to now filter in through the next few hours here. So stay tuned to Sports Grid, and you'll have more of an update as more of this information kind of leaks out throughout the day.
Yeah. And if anybody was to tell me that I would be allowed to say it, then I certainly would. This would be Sports Grid would be the first place that I would do it. But it's just the road that I've taken this season. And by the way, no indictment at all on John Heyman, who is a friend of mine who lives about 20 minutes away from me, who I know very well. You know, certainly he's choosing to do it. And I just am not. And I don't think it makes anybody better or worse. This is just my sole opinion on covering it in 2020. Okay, so now let's get to the games that are hypothetically on for tonight. Joe, let's talk about 6:40 Eastern. The Atlanta Braves take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Two really good teams, two teams that I would say in a 16-team postseason we'll probably see both of them in, would be a guess. The total is 9 in this game, and the Rays are a slight favorite, minus 128 in baseball these days. That is a slight favorite. A lot of these are 140, 150. Kyle Wright will start for the Braves. He was definitely inconsistent. That'd be the nice way to say it, in 2019. And Yanni Chirinos has all the talent in the world. There's no doubt about that, but there is no way in any scenario, DFS, standard, season-long, that I would count on a Rays pitcher throwing 5 innings in a game, Joe. So I think it's either, you know, from a fantasy perspective or DFS, it's right or nothing. And then, you know, from a game perspective, man, it is hard to go against the Rays right now. They look really tough to beat.
They do, and I don't think right is the right answer in DFS tonight either. I will say this, there are a couple bats here that are worth noting on the FanDuel side. Setsugo over on the Rays side is just 2.8. Also, Austin Riley is just 2.3, and Ender Inciarte just 2.2. So there's a lot of guys here that you can use as lineup builders on FanDuel tonight if you do want to go up to cash game ownership percentages of, let's say, Walker Buehler, because there's also not a lot of great pitchers on this slate tonight. You're getting a lot of the number fives. So taking that into account, you want to go up to that top of the board for a pitcher, then this is how you do it. You start finding some of these names that are under 3K, that are in good spots in the lineup or have potential to go yard, and I think that's what you're looking for here in this game. That total, I believe you said, was 9 for this game, too, if the graphic that I saw correctly. And that's one to really consider if you want to go over, because some of these games lately, when you're getting into these bullpens, it's definitely on the table, I think, tonight. I think I like the over more than I like potentially either one of these teams picking outright, because I feel like you're throwing darts right now, Craig. That's kind of what it feels like when you're looking at some of these games. And last question to you, too. Now with the news of Fulton Evich, do you think this is an opportunity for Ian Anderson to come into this rotation sooner than later as well?
I would think this year. I know that there's still service time issues involved that are a few days away, and I think that at some point we'll see him. Yeah, I do. I think
Now it's just days we're talking about.
Yeah. What's amazing, Joe, is that if we were doing the show a year ago, we would say the Braves are so well positioned for the future with their amazing starting pitching. And they added Cole Hamels to that. And now it's like, wow, what in the world happened to the Braves with all these young pitchers and everybody that they had? They've gone the other way. All right, let's go to 810.
That's funny because real quick, my whole take on the Braves this year was that, and I said it yesterday too, not getting Bumgarner last year, not getting that guy at the top. This is the downside of not doing that. You're relying on a lot of young kids to kind of come through and be good right away or sustain any success they had. And that is really tricky, I think, year to year to look at, especially guys like Soroka, who don't put guys away who are just really good pitchers. But look, Voltanevich is another one, too, that was dicey coming into the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at it now, and Hamels looks like, unfortunately, one of the worst signings the Braves have had in the last few years. You know, I don't think he's going to throw a pitch for them this year, which is really unfortunate, but you're right. I mean, Bumgarner, Keuchel, they went after both of those guys. They didn't get either after the season. Of course, Keuchel pitched with them last year. They chose to let him go. Looks like a mistake. All right, 8:10 Eastern, Cardinals and Twins, two good teams playing tonight. This should be a fun one. Twins are must-see TV right now with the runs they're scoring. They're minus 138 at home. Here is the total. 10.5 in this one tonight, too. So a lot of runs being expected. Carlos Martinez will make the start for the Cardinals. This is where he wants to be. He wants to start. He will tonight. And the ageless Homer Bailey is starting for the Minnesota Twins. And Bailey, there's no two ways about it, Joe. He's going to either pitch great tonight or he's going to get bombed. I don't think you're going to see somewhere halfway between this guy. You know who he is.
Yeah, we certainly do. He also is very hittable against righties, which means look at guys like Goldschmidt, look at guys DeJong tonight on FanDuel. DeJong is actually quite cheap. He's 3.1. Goldschmidt just 3.7. So looking for those guys. And if you were looking for a contrarian pitching play tonight, it's certainly Martinez, because Martinez has a lot of talent. He can go out there and throw a gem. We all know that. And the Twins offense, I'm sure, is scaring off a lot of ownership percentage and shares of Carlos Martinez tonight. So if you're looking to differentiate a little bit in, again, multi-entry, it's not a single tournament play. It's a multi-entry play only. Having a share of Carlos Martinez against the Twins would certainly separate you. And the possibility is there that the Cardinals show up, have a good game. Martinez pitches well, gets to the fifth inning, gets a W. That is not an impossible scenario, especially when you consider the guy on the other side is Homer Bailey. And Homer Bailey has been known for a fair amount of implosions on his own.
All right, let's go to one of the evening games, and I think the marquee game of the day, Joe, I would guess at this point. Dodgers and Houston Astros, although the FanDuel line would not indicate this being a great game because the Dodgers are a pretty significant favorite. They're minus 142. Houston has come out very hot to start the season. That should be no surprise to anybody. They're a great team. Their total is 9. We're going to get to see Walker Buehler tonight. He's also must-see TV. Framber Valdez is locked and loaded in this Houston rotation. They have run out of pitchers. So Valdez, Joe, is going to be a part of this thing. But when baseball comes back and the fun and the excitement and seeing great teams play, this is a game you circle on the schedule and say, yeah, like this is what I want to see tonight, and this will be the game that I'm watching.
And the Astros bullpen's in a bad spot right now. Presley dealing with an elbow issue, which we really didn't discuss today much. We didn't get to it. And then Ozuna also not right. So, look, this is a tough one here. I think Walker Buehler is going to go in there and shut down this offense, which is a very formidable one, too. And if you're looking for some pieces, some right-handed bats on the FanDuel side of things, you've got Kiki Hernandez at 2.9. You've also got if Chris Taylor's in the lineup at 2.5. Those are more lineup builders. If you want to go up there, stack a little righties, go with Walker Buehler in this game and just stay within this game, I think there's real potential to do that as well. Buehler is the only marquee pitcher on this slate tonight. And looking at this, I might even tend towards the under in this game potentially. I don't think Walker Buehler is going to give up a whole lot of runs, and I would expect him to go into the sixth inning tonight, if not better.
All right, so that's the marquee games of the night. As we mentioned, two games postponed already, Marlins and Orioles. And, of course, the Yankees and Phillies postpone. The Phillies tomorrow will wait to see if they get their test results back, and they do, and they look good. Then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to bus it from Philadelphia. I don't even know. Is that possible? They bus it from Philadelphia to the Bronx? Can they do that?
Distance-wise? Of course you can. There's actually a bus that takes you right in Center City, Philadelphia, right to New York.
Okay, so there you go. So that's what the Phillies will do tomorrow, and they'll show up for the games this weekend if everything goes well. Okay, we're going to have the update with Dan Strafford coming up here at the top of the hour, and I want to thank Adam Aronis for coming back on the show today because of all the breaking news. We couldn't have him on yesterday, but the NBA is starting up again on Thursday. We got Jazz, Pelicans, and Lakers Clippers to discuss. We'll do that next right here on Sports Grid, right here on Fantasy Sports Today, so don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Athletic is reporting four more members of the Miami Marlins have tested positive for the coronavirus after the latest round of testing. ESPN has confirmed as well. The Marlins have now had 17 people test positive in the past 5 days. On Monday, the total of confirmed cases stood at 11 players and two coaches. On Monday, Commissioner Rob Manfred had said he believes MLB's health protocols are working despite the outbreak. He was quoted as saying, quote, "We built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season. The protocols were built to allow us to play through these positives. We believe these protocols are adequate to keep our players safe." Their outbreak continued to disrupt Major League Baseball's schedule Tuesday, though, the sixth day of the pandemic-delayed season. The Marlins' home game against Baltimore was postponed. Monday's game between the Marlins and Orioles was also called off, as was New York Yankees series opener. Monday and Tuesday's game at Philadelphia, where New York would have been in the same clubhouse the Marlins had just used. Joel Sherman of the New York Post reports that there have been no new positive COVID-19 cases with the Philadelphia Phillies in the wake of the Marlins outbreak. That's as of Tuesday morning. In the NFL, Bears defensive tackle Eddie Goldman has opted out of the 2020 season due to the coronavirus pandemic. Per NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, the move is, quote, due to health reasons. New England Patriots linebacker Dont'a Hightower is opting out of the 2020 season, league sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Tuesday. Running back Brandon Bolden also is planning to opt out for the 2020 season. Starting offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, fullback Danny Vitale, and reserve offensive lineman Najee Torrin earlier decided to opt out for the Pats. Hightower is 30 years old and became a first-time father on July 16th. San Francisco 49ers running back Raheem Mostert has finalized a contract restructuring with the team, his agent announced on Monday. The NFL is temporarily replacing New York Giants cornerback DeAndre Baker and Seattle Seahawks cornerback Quentin Dunbar on the commissioner's exempt list with criminal charges pending. Baker was told to stay away from virtual meetings this spring after police in Florida arrested him on 4 counts of armed robbery and 4 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. Dunbar faces 4 counts of armed robbery. Washington placed quarterback Alex Smith on the physically unable to perform list after conducting physicals for its rookies and quarterbacks Monday. The team also placed linebacker Reuben Foster on PUP as well. Smith has not yet been cleared by the team for football activity and wants to see what he's able to do on the field before taking him off the PUP list and increasing his football activity. Smith will work with trainers and the strength and conditioning staff during practices. I'm Dan Straffer, and this has been your Sports Grid News Update.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. And joining us now to talk a little NBA odds and also a little fantasy baseball as well is Adam Ronis, of course, from FantasyAlarm.com. You can catch him on Twitter at Adam Ronis, certainly one of the best in the business in playing fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball. We're going to get into fantasy a little bit as well on the baseball end of it. What a wacky weekend it was for sure. Adam, thanks for coming on the show. And as excited as you were to see baseball last weekend, how excited are you for Thursday night, where the NBA is coming back too?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm a huge NBA fan, love the sports betting aspect of it. DFS is my favorite sport for basketball. So definitely excited to have it back. I wanted to make sure a champion was crowned this season. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit different here. We have these seeding games, and I think different teams will take a different approach, but at least there is something on the line as far as a few playoff spots in the Western Conference. Obviously, the bottom of the Eastern Conference is just a complete disaster with the Nets barely having enough guys to field the team, bringing out Jamal Crawford, and they had Michael Beasley, and then he gets COVID-19, so that kind of just sums up what we're going through. And then the Wizards, well, actually, I think on this show we discussed a couple weeks ago, when I initially saw DeAndre Jordan and Spencer Dinwiddie go down, I immediately put money on the Wizards. I'm like, all right, they might get the safe spot. And then like a week and a half later, Bradley Beal says, yeah, I can't play. So I'm like, all right, well, there's still a glimmer of hope. Doesn't look good. I mean, you know, Nets can go 0-8. If the Nets go 0-8, 1-7, and the Wizards can somehow win 3-4 games and then get that matchup against the Nets for the 8th seed, hey, you never know. But yeah, it's wild. And why you really have to be careful with your bets right now. I mean, we're seeing news every day, and now you're seeing players sit out of scrimmages due to missed COVID tests. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis missed his COVID-19 test, so he has to sit out. So that's something to pay attention to, which is going to be interesting, even with these games coming up.
Yeah, and I think that what we've learned from that and from baseball as well is that from a betting perspective, I know that people like, and I like to too, you know, do these shows and come on the air 5 days before, 4 days before, say, hey, this line is going to move, get in on it now. The reality is that's not where we're at in sports in 2020. I mean, you could take a shot and get lucky that a guy that you have is out in some way, But all of this that has happened, especially in baseball over the weekend, has really made me think about what football is going to be this year, too, and how I don't know how anybody could make a bet until they put those inactives out on Sunday morning. I can't see it. But nonetheless, Thursday night, we're going to have two games on the slate, and I wanted to review those two games with you here, and then we'll get into a little baseball discussion. We got the Pelicans taking on the Utah Jazz. All these games are in Orlando. It's a 6:30 Eastern game. And as you see here on FanDuel, the line right now is Pelicans minus two, and the total is 220.5. And certainly, if I wasn't practicing what I would preaching, I would say, Adam, give me the game right now, and then get it in right now 4 days in ahead in advance. But clearly, probably best to wait a day or two before you make any bets. Do you have any lean on this game at all? I know Williamson being out is obviously a big key for New Orleans.
Yeah, I think there's a chance or the likelihood is he will play. I think so. I think he's already back and undergoing a quarantine. So maybe his minutes are limited. But this is a huge game for the Pelicans because after they have the Clippers, the next one. And I looked at their schedule and I feel like they have the potential to go 7-1. And initially, like, everyone was excited for the Pelicans. And I was like, all right, guys, relax. I mean, this is, we know the NBA wants to see them in. People love Zion Williamson. They're a team that has a lot of offense. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, they're a fun team. Drew Holiday, and I think they're the exciting team, even though I feel like Portland is the more dangerous team from a playoff perspective. But when I looked at the Pelican schedule, I'm like, you know what? They actually do have a shot here. I think they have can go 7-1, and they got to get this win here. The Jazz are only playing for seeding. They're without Bogdanovic. Obviously, some of the Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell stuff. We've heard a lot about that storyline. So I lean towards the Pelicans. I mean, this is essentially every game for them is playoffs, and they need to win this game. It doesn't mean as much for Utah. So I feel like there's going to be a sense of urgency here for the Pelicans. The over-under totals, that's one that I kind of want to see the first 2 days, because are these teams going to come back with lax defense and we see a lot of turnovers, fast break points, or is there going to be rust on offense? Because this is a very low number. I mean, the Pelicans are a team this year consistently we saw in the 230s and sometimes over 240 because they played that high-paced game. Utah more of a slower pace, but they did pick it up towards the end of in February and March. So that number seems low, but I'm not ready to go in and say over with confidence yet. Sure. But you could see it. The books are clearly thinking that the offense is going to be down by the two numbers that night and even some of the ones days after.
Yeah, and part of it too, and I know it may seem trivial, but we don't really know anything about these courts they're playing on in Orlando either and these arenas and what that will mean. And so, I mean, they look great, but we really don't know. It happens in college basketball. Sometimes kids go across the country playing in Hawaii or the Bahamas or somewhere else, and the courts are different. The eyesight, the lines are not as good, too.
Yeah, depth perception, yeah.
Yeah, no, so definitely. We just don't know. You're right. We'll find out right away. I would guess, by the way, after the second game for sure, which is the marquee game for sure of the week. And this is the game that they know that everybody is going to be watching and really puts baseball back or basketball back, where the Clippers will take on the Lakers. I know, Adam, you came on a few weeks ago and said you like the Clippers potentially to win it all. The Lakers on this neutral site are minus 4.5 over the Clippers. The total is 217.5. Lou Williams, I mean, I don't know what this guy is thinking, Adam. You know, basically the opportunity of a lifetime to maybe win a championship here. But looks like he's not going to be available in this one. I don't know if that means anything to you or one way or the other. But can the Clippers catch these points here and cover? Anything on the total? Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I lean the Lakers at this point. I think the game is more important for the Lakers. I mean, from a seeding perspective, you're probably like, why do you say that? They have the lead. They're going to be the one seed. But I think mentally for them, they have to show that they can beat the Clippers. They lost the first two games to the Clippers this year. They beat the Clippers the last time out. Again, I've said it all year. I think the Clippers just care about the postseason. And now the other issue with the Clippers right now, which is why this line has moved. I think it was initially Lakers were 1.5 for two, but it's moved because the Clippers only have 10 players right now that they're practicing with. Patrick Beverley is still away from the bubble. Montrezl Harrell is still away from the bubble. So I believe they're going to have to be back Monday or at some point, I guess, and it's a 4-day quarantine. So I don't know what their status is for Thursday. We know Lou Williams is out. They just got back Landry Shamet and Zubac. So this is a team that's been barely working together here. it might take them some time. The only thing is, though, I'm sure everyone kind of feels that way. And the Clippers are so good with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. It wouldn't shock me if they keep the game close. But right now, the Lakers are in a better spot. And I think from a confidence perspective, I think LeBron James, Anthony Davis are going to want to come out here and kind of win this game. The Clippers have a 1.5 game lead over Denver for the 2 seed. I think they should be able to hold them off. And again, I think the Clippers, it's just about for them being prepared for the postseason. And they'll get Lou Williams back. He'll miss 2 games. I don't think it's a big deal. But you got to worry about what kind of game shape are these guys in when they're away from the bubble. I mean, that's the biggest issue. Yeah. How much chemistry? Because, again, these guys have sat for 4 months. So there definitely are some concerns on the Clippers side, and that's why you've seen that line move up in the Lakers' favor a little bit more.
Well, while we have you here, Adam, I know that, you know, certainly you pride yourself on being a great fantasy baseball player. You've won a lot through the years. And we knew what we were getting into this year, and I knew what I was getting into by participating in leagues. I cut it all the way down. I'm only in 2 leagues this year. This is the least I've ever been in both drafts I did back early. Look, you know me, Adam. I'm around the game, and I was basically told that it's going to be wild and wacky, and that's exactly what the season has delivered. Wow, the news yesterday, you had Justin Verlander going down for the season. You had a closer being out. I would guess Ken Giles probably won't see him this year. The Marlins can't even field a team at this point due to everything that is going on. So, I mean, I don't know what this experience in fantasy baseball is going to be like for you this year. But for me, I think it's just a matter of having fun and just enjoying baseball being back. Because if you're putting any kind of financial stake on this, essentially you're just hoping for luck. I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a disaster, man. I mean, I think we knew it would be bad, but just after 1 weekend, I'm just so frustrated with guys getting hurt. You know, Blake Snell goes 2 innings. Zach Greinke only goes 3. Corey Kluber gets injured. Yeah. I mean, it's just left and right. Guys going down. Randall Grichuk leaves the game. Eloy Jimenez collides into a wall. COVID-19 running through players. Like, all of a sudden, Mike Moustakas on the injured list. The Marlins dealing with it. It's just so difficult, and there are still weekly leagues out there. So it's almost impossible to set your weekly lineup. You're going to miss at-bats. There's no way you can get around it. Guys are sitting, I mean, resting on the game 3. It's just, it's a train wreck, man. And like you said, I said this all the last couple months, just have fun with it. But I've always said this. I can preach that advice. I don't have fun if I don't win. So I the standings mean nothing right now, but I'm not enjoying this. I mean, I'm happy baseball's back, you know, hoping the Mets do well. But of course, Edwin Diaz already, same old story. But yeah, it is very challenging. And it's going to be, I think you're going to see some players that you think are bad fantasy baseball players maybe win titles this year. And again, 60 games for a fantasy baseball season, it's just not enough. I've had teams in last place after 2 months that went on to win the league. So it's definitely frustrating. And I didn't do any leagues after the stoppage except one. It was a league in March that was postponed, and we did the auction last Tuesday. And I really kind of didn't want to do it, but everyone else was in it. I said, fine. Obviously, when I was in the auction, it was exciting. But yeah, I didn't do nothing after because I knew it was going to be a real challenge and it was going to be frustrating. And it's not a true measure of how good you are. And I don't want to drop a lot of money in that situation.
Yeah, and neither do I. And I think the same pertains to sports betting. I think advantages can be had, but a lot of them are going to come on the day of the game. I think a lot of it, to be honest with you, is following people like me on Twitter who are covering the teams.
And you know how much of a headache I get just following the news? Following the news, man. You know how much of a headache you get these days, man?
This is it. I mean, I'm following everybody in baseball because I want to know who I'm going to put in and out. I got my roster like constantly on. I've never had this before, but that's part of what we're dealing with. But happy to have baseball back and really excited to have the NBA coming back on Thursday. All their guys, by the way, apparently look pretty healthy. Thanks, Adam, for coming on. Appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime. Let's hope this gets better.
For sure. Adam Ronis from Fantasy Alarm. Follow him on Twitter at Adam Ronis. Joe Pizzapia joins me back next here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We got a little fantasy or reality coming up next. And unfortunately, some more breaking news, Joe, here on Fantasy Sports Today. And so here we are. The Marlins are pausing their season, the 2020 season. So for the time being, it looks like they're going to try to get healthy, try to get their players healthy. But it is fairly evident at this point that their season is somewhat in jeopardy, and the idea of them playing games anytime soon is out.
Okay, so what are the ramifications for this now with the schedule? Does that mean that the schedule will continue for all the teams? And if you had the Marlins in the next 2 weeks, basically you're not playing the Marlins and you're just having off days? Or are they going to maneuver the schedule in a way where they're going to play double dips with certain teams and have three teams in an area at once? Like, there's lots of options here. And I've already seen that the Yankees, I saw Heyman was talking about the Yankees and Orioles talking about getting together and playing since their opponents this week weren't available. So there's a lot of moving parts here from a scheduling standpoint, potentially.
Okay, so here is the plan, and this I'm told is accurate from Joel Sherman. This is convoluted, confusing. The Phillies are paused too, for the time being, until they get their testing back. So it appears as though the Yankees, Joe, are going to play the Orioles now instead. You think it's, I'm not, this is a straight face. The Yankees are going to play the Orioles, apparently, and the Phillies will have to make up their games that they missed against the Yankees this week, and the Orioles season will continue on as planned.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It's this is very Lord of the Rings at the end of the movie where he says, it's about what you do with the time that is given. The great wise sage Gandalf giving you a little a little philosophy here today. And I think that's probably the right call here on all sides, right? So, I mean, this kind of eliminates the questions that we've been talking about earlier of the competitiveness of the games. And also taking care of the players and then kind of putting things on pause and then seeing where things go. I think the biggest thing to take away, too, is we saw over the weekend with a couple guys not feeling well, immediate response to any player who is feeling under the weather, immediate response to anything out of the ordinary. I think for the betterment of the entire organization, I think you might see the response being very different from Major League Baseball teams going forward here in the next, few weeks, that if there's anything even remotely out of the ordinary, that there's going to be extreme action taken. And that's probably for the best. Am I right, Craig?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, taking it a step further with what they're doing with the Phillies, I think is also the right call. I think that that's an important call because, again, you had all of that interaction between the Phillies and the Marlins for a weekend in Philadelphia. You did have a clubhouse attendant test positive. And so hopefully the Phillies will be able to make up their games. It would appear that the Yankees playing the Orioles, honestly, somewhat reasonable. That does make some sense there. You don't want to have all these teams, Joe, having to make up games. That's not going to go over very well. But I think well, in the end,
well, that also creates holes in their schedules too. Like if they were slated to play those teams at later on in the year, you're having more games against them. That would theoretically at least open up some time frames in the next month or so for other games to be made up. Again, this is all theoretical, but my math is pretty simple here.
Yeah. But all those things are right. And I think that, on tomorrow's show, it'll be a lot easier because we'll have direction and we can move forward from this. I think that's crucial for all of us and all of Major League Baseball. But I got to tell you, like, this is a heartbreaking result for Major League Baseball, Joe. It is a devastating, devastating day.
And I guess now we have to ask the other question, too, which is, what if you had to pause the Yankees season? What if you had to pause the Dodgers season? Could you get away with that? You could. It's terrible. They're getting away with it. They are going to get away with it because it's just the Marlins, and their perspective is, well, the Marlins are a team that is rebuilding, and the Marlins are a team that probably wouldn't contend this year. And that's a terrible way of creating a competitive balance here in Major League Baseball of understanding, hey, it's 60 games and anything can happen and all of that kind of nonsense. But it's very difficult. This is not easy. My guess is they are going to continue to proceed through and they're going to find a way to make this work until the next one. And that's where everything goes in question. And that's why I keep saying, I don't think it's hyperbolic to sit here and say, whatever the next guy is, whatever the next issue is, there's going to be so much pressure on that person to remove themselves from the environment. It's not even going to be funny. No one's going to play through anything right now. And I don't think that's the wrong call.
Yeah. And I think that, a lot can be learned from this. It's really just amazing to me to think, and I guess, you know, part of me looks at it and says, we waited so long, Joe, you know, we waited so long to have baseball back. And I think that, you know, for me and with all sports, with football too, if this happened with football, I would feel the same way. And with the NBA as well, it's such a downer. I'm searching for words here because it's tough. It's such a downer to have to deal with this because you have all of this optimism. And then naturally, I think that when you cover a club, you sort of, have friendships and you have relationships. And even though you're supposed to be impartial as a reporter, naturally you get to know these people in a different way that other people do. And that's what's been tough over the last 24 hours is hearing from those people and seeing just the dismay and the texting and just what they're going through. Like we kind of belittle it a little bit and we say, oh yeah, you know, the Yankees are going to play the Orioles and the Phillies will get a couple of days off and, you know, and this and that. But I mean, Joe, just imagine like you can't see, you know, Miguel Rojas can't see his wife and kid for weeks and is stuck in another city and his wife is pregnant. You know, it's like, wow, it was this worth it, you know? And I think that in there's so many good baseball people out there that are broadcasters and people like you and me that need sports to be back for us to make money. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation that we're in. You know, to not have football is devastating to any company that covers football because you can't do retro games and video games for 2 years, it's not possible. But I would say that it just hits home when you work so hard as an organization like the Marlins did and did everything the right way and had 3 weeks straight of negative testing in their own ballpark with no issue. And yes, the outside ramifications, Joe, I was honest. I didn't go back after going the first day. I didn't feel great about it. But the results speak for themselves. They had no positive tests in that ballpark, as bad as a hotspot as Miami is. And I'm doing all of these interviews all over the country, and everyone is asking me the same question. Well, you had to know because Miami's a hotspot. Miami's a hotspot. Well, if Miami was a hotspot, then why didn't one player test positive in the entire month of them being there for summer camp 2.0?
That's exactly right.
They did do the right thing. They tried. But the failure of the levels of travel and what can happen in different places. And this is no indictment on any team or any facility or anything like that. I just feel like it was inevitable. And the unfortunate part of it is that there are so many people around the country who don't have the opportunity that I do to cover a Major League Baseball team and have those relationships. They just can't really see it the same way to know what these men and women are having to go through and just how difficult it is. So
you're seeing ramifications from it already, Craig. You're seeing the NFL players. Yeah, the opt-outs you've seen in the last 24 hours in the NFL. It's not a coincidence. And that's the equation I'm trying to make. So the NFL is getting a healthy dose of what Major League Baseball's potential failures are right now. And you're going to see a lot more names, I would say, in the next 24 hours when we come back here on this show. You're going to see a list of names that people are saying it's not worth it to play. I'm not going to do this to myself. I'm not going to put myself at physical risk for a season that may or may not happen, potentially. And that is fair. And look, some players are higher risk than others. I saw James Conner said he's going to play, which was kind of surprising to me. James Conner, having gone through what he's gone through, putting himself at risk. But James Conner is also in a contract year. And this is the difference between Major League Baseball and the NFL. The guaranteed money that's out there in the NFL compared to Major League Baseball, you cannot compare the two. And when players have contracts coming up, you're going to see people push through things that they wouldn't normally push through, that I think the baseball players can sit there and the David Prices of the world can sit there and make certain decisions that the NFL guys can't necessarily make. And I think you're going to see a lot more NFL players opt out here, which is unfortunate. But I think the best thing Major League Baseball can do is probably what they've done and now hope for the best going forward. And we keep using that word hope, but I feel like that's the best thing we can do at this point, right, Craig? Continue to go through the protocols and continue to hope. And that's all we can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, what the Marlins, the unfortunate part for them, and they're going to have to just endure a nightmare of a year. I mean, from the players to the wives to the families, it's a horrific thing. And fortunately, from what I understand, a lot of them are asymptomatic. So in terms of, threat over health for them directly, I don't know. Nobody really knows what long term ramifications are from this thing. But at least for the time, it seems like they're OK. I think it's fair to say. It's one team that's going to be made used as an example, unfortunately, to say, once they trace it back and find out, because they're going to find out, Joe, what happened? How did somebody get it? There's going to be too many. I mean, Major League Baseball is going to spend all that time figuring out what was going on with Alex Rodriguez, they're going to spend enough time figuring out how they got COVID. No question about that. And when they do,
it might be easier to find out how that happened than to find out the Alex Rodriguez thing, because that was one of the most complicated stories I've ever seen in my whole life.
I know. It's screwball. And when they do, and when they figure that out, the negative of this story in particular will be a positive for everything else moving forward, because there will be mistakes made by somebody along the way. No fault of anyone, just we're dealing with a new normal here, and people are going to make mistakes. It's just part of it. Those mistakes can be learned from, and hopefully for pro football and for pro basketball and for the NHL, they can poll and ask, hey, like what was it? What worked? What didn't? And I give a lot of credit for Major League Baseball trying to do this and trying to get back on the field and do it. But as we've learned, it is going to take mistakes and learning from the mistakes that are made by no fault of anyone, at least as it would appear, to get other sports going back again. And I think that
I'll say this too, Craig, just to piggyback this too, that I believe the other good thing that could come of this is if there was any relaxation going on among players, among teams, among athletes, I don't think there's any relaxation now. I think if anybody was starting to not follow the protocols properly or do whatever they're supposed to do, if there's a scared straight program, the Marlins just instituted it. So the good thing going forward is no one's going to be lax. No one's going to look and say, oh, it's fine. Everything's okay. It's not. And I think the Marlins, unfortunately, had to be the poster child for it. But the good news is maybe, just maybe, everyone takes things more seriously going forward and continues to take them seriously, and we do have a season.
And hopefully we will. I believe we will in Major League Baseball. We will press on and maybe short a team or two, but the season looks like it will go on. We'll be covering it for you right here on Sports Grid. Coming up next, we'll end with the Sports Grid 60 statement.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Joe and I will be right back here tomorrow for another edition of Sports Grid as we press forward and get to the heart of the matter in the fantasy baseball season, sort of the new schedule, how things are going, and certainly keep it locked here to Sports Grid all day long. We got Scott Farrell coming up a little bit later, going coast to coast with the latest on this, arguably the biggest story we've had in sports in 4 months. And so we'll continue to cover it here on Sports Grid. I could not be more proud to be here with Sports Grid and covering this here for you. I know a lot of you are watching me here for this, and I thank you for that as well. I would have loved nothing more than to talk fantasy and talk gambling and talk sports with you every day here since baseball started. Did not see this coming at all, but I'm here for it, and I'm here to cover it, and that's how I will end it today. Joe, I would ask to turn it over to you, please, for the Sports Grid 60. At home, thank you.
Sure, I'll try to make Craig Mish smile today because I know it's been a rough morning and afternoon for him already. But Raheem Mostert got paid. That's right, the 49ers guy got some extra money. He deserved it for that incredible playoff run he had. However, I just want to warn everybody out there: just because he got some more money does not all of a sudden make him an elite running back. Five organizations, 5 years, couldn't all be wrong. Yes, he's in a good system. It's still a crowded system. And again, he's a better flex RB than an RB2. So look, a little bit of actual sports for you to close the show.
All right, so a little bit of sports to close. That's what we'll do here. We'll get right back to sports tomorrow. And we'll kick it in high gear back with some baseball talk now that we think we have a little bit more clarity on the situation. It'll become a little bit easier. If you missed any of the show and you're just tuning in and you're wanting to learn the latest on what has gone on in baseball with the Marlins or anything else that I've been reporting or what Joe and I have been talking about, we got a great YouTube channel that we house all of our shows on demand. So make sure you go over to Sports Grid YouTube and also Sports Grid Radio, where we're talking about this 24/7. Thanks again to Chris, to Brett, to Joe Ranieri for keeping the show on the tracks, as they always do today. And for my co-host, Joe Pizzapia, I am Craig Mish. All of you are safe out there, and I look forward to seeing you and speaking to you tomorrow at noon. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.